Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry? Hello?
Ashwini? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Now I can.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I was muted.
Where do we need to sound like a Verizon commercial?
Here we are.
All righty. Here we are. And here's our assignment. Or was our assignment? Common sense. If we cannot be clever, we can always be kind. Ram Dass said when his teacher wanted to chide him, he would call him clever. Perhaps that was because there can be so much ego in clever. In kind, never. One supposes a person could be clever in the use of kindness, but then that wouldn't actually be kind, would it? Today, notice ego's eagerness to be sharp, quick-witted, and smart, while the heart just wants to be present, which is kind. Record and listen.
Nice.
Yes, very nice. So here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Wow, it is a Mercury retrograde morning, sure enough. Hang on one more. Hang on, Sherry. All right, let me try someone else. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This works. I'm here. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area. Good morning, Ms. Swinney. Good morning, Sherry. And good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have this wonderful problem where I'm looking at the Project Joy quote for the day, and then the next morning I meditate and I read the next one, and I get so wrapped up in the next one because it's so good. And I think, wait a minute, no, we're on yesterday. But I do want to talk about yesterday's quote. Just like all of them, it blew me away. And I actually had been looking at that very thing for several days. And basically, to be smart. That, you know, I grew up, that's where you got all your kudos. And let's see. I'm so grateful to practice for allowing me to see the ugliness of that in a way that doesn't generate self-hate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yes. So important.
I, you know, I can really see in that content, I didn't understand for a very long time the phrase, practice doesn't start until the beating stops. But mm-hmm. with this, I really get it, because if I weren't able to look at this conditioned pattern, hateful, ugly, horrible pattern, without self-hate, I wouldn't be able to see it, first of all. And I am so grateful to be able to see it, so I have a chance of not coming from that place.
Yes. Yes. I think, Anne, it was last night on open air that I was talking with Vanessa about what we were talking about. And I heard myself say, you know, everything that we do can come from one of two places, which, I mean, maybe I've said that before. I've just never heard it before. Or I don't remember it if I did hear it or whatever. But that's really what you're saying here. So you have an insight about how egocentric and ugly it is to want to be obviously smarter than someone else, or more successful, or prettier, or whatever
content,
it is. Fill in the content. And so we can have that awareness from center or close to center, which puts us in the place that you're describing. We're just grateful to have seen it so that we can begin the process of dismantling that. Or we could see it while identified with ego, which takes us down the road of self-hate and makes sure that we continue to suffer with that. It's the same it's the same awareness, but where we are with it makes every difference.
Well, yes, and what I just saw as you were saying that, and of course this is nothing new, but that's what's wonderful about practice. You see something that you've seen before, and it's, of course it's new because it's this moment.
New.
Was that,
yep.
Yeah, that I, of course there's a conditioning to want to be smart because that was the whole survival. My whole family was about,
yep.
You know, I graduated with honors, and my dad said, well, I wonder why you didn't go to graduate school. You know, it's like nothing was enough. You know, you couldn't prove enough. But anyway, what I saw when you were saying that was, of course there's that conditioning because that's what was required to survive. And now
yes.
I have the opportunity to mentor that person and let her know what's underneath that, which is you are loved. Because that's all that's prettier, smarter, thinner, whatever is about is you are loved.
Yes, precisely, as you are. And the kindness and the compassion and the graciousness of not needing to feel good at someone else's expense.
Yes, and to see that's really where I want to come from, and to know when I don't come from that place, I can know that I'm identified, that's where conditioning is, and I want to pay closer attention.
Yes.
I want to choose kindness over conditioning.
Yes. And let everybody, you and everybody else, bask in the unconditional. When we take away the comparison, the competition, all of that kind of stuff, then there's just everything that is as it is. It's all perfect. Yeah. So everybody can enjoy being an expression of the unconditional.
Well, and I saw two things when you said that. I'm going to say the second one first, that tendency to want to be someplace at the expense of somebody else. I can own my part in our politics today from that, because that's what everybody's doing. You know, when we're identified.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing I saw was there's this wonderful quote from There Is Nothing Wrong With You, which I cannot even remember exactly how it goes. I remember years ago writing on the board at the monastery. Can you please tell me what that quote is again? I just saw when you were saying that about if we're in the present, it frees the past. And allows the future to be open. Something marvelous like that. And what I just saw when you were saying that, Sherry, because in those moments when I am being smart at somebody else's expense or clever, to stick with the quote, I really feel in some instances I'm channeling my father, or I should say his conditioning. And I saw that when I am present and I choose kindness, I am healing karma from the past, not quote unquote my karma.
Yes.
You know, it's karma, but it's past generational stuff too.
Yes, 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 yeah, absolutely. And that all we want for everybody is to have that experience. So, you know, pointing at whatever it is, whatever that comparison is, and whether it's winning, losing, smarter, less smart. More successful, better this, whatever it is. We just don't want anybody to feel bad. And we know from our own experience what it's like to be caught in that kind of duality. And we don't want that. It doesn't mean that we don't choose the very best that we can choose in each and every moment. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
It just means that where it comes from is very, very is a very different experience.
Yes, because it, of course it doesn't everything, but just to me it just ups the desire to be present, because I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I don't want to come from that place. And if I'm aware that that's happening, I can say, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I just realized I wasn't here, and I want to get here," and or whatever I'm going to say. You know, I can.
Yes.
Be aware of that
and
say, oh, I don't want to come from that place. I'm so sorry, or whatever I'm going to say. But to just be here
yes.
and say, I choose I choose kindness.
Yeah, and we don't have to say to the other person, oh, I just saw myself pointing out how much smarter I am than you, because that would miss the point, too. But, yes, just simply to say, wow, I just realized I slipped off into another reality there for a little while. So can we get back to what we were looking at there?
Yeah, can we start over or whatever?
Yes.
I'm so grateful for practice to give the eyes to see this stuff. You know, it's just So thank you very much to everybody.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay,
go happy.
Wow, talk about a absolutely fabulously textured practice conversation, Terry. There was just so much in that. So much. Mm. I'm, you know, self-hate obscures our ability to have insights. Once mm-hmm. we have the insight, we can see the egocentricity of it and just accept that that's karma and not what we are. That mm-hmm. In some senses, it is possible for us to see how hateful that system is and how it thrives on mutual exclusivity. It's all about exclusion. My survival mm-hmm. at the expense of. Mm-hmm. And if we don't feel bad about that, then we can get to choose kindness. And
yes.
and in that, you know, that's a choice which actually articulates our true nature. And in choosing it, we do heal the karma because now we offer that or are an offering of that to everyone else who's still surviving. Now we are
yes.
the inclusion. Not the exclusion, right? Not the perpetuation of a feeling of exclusion, and it just transforms the way we live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do suspect, I don't know this obviously, but I do suspect that it's one of those ripples in a pool,
mm-hmm.
and that even though nothing is said or done, there's an intuitive sensing of the difference from
mm-hmm.
people. Even when we are completely caught in conditioning, there's an intuitive sensing that brings us to an awareness of an inclusive,
mm-hmm.
there it is, a perspective
mm-hmm.
that includes, that does
yes.
not set up ego barriers and
mm-hmm.
argue for dualities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm.
Wow. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Well, it's just, it's so interesting to look at this assignment in relation to, for me, with working with the musings, the latest musings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could take this, I can take anything, and just say, how did this happen? And with holiday events going on, I was at a gathering yesterday, and I could see how easily this particular thing, whether it's being clever, funny, whatever it is, can, it's almost like ego being chosen over at the expense of someone else, or ourselves
mm-hmm.
even. So
yeah.
just watching that, but
oh,
Jan, got to
stop you there, because that you just slid in that gem, okay? Because the way we've been looking at it is ego choosing itself over someone else, but what you just said is it'll do the same thing to us, so it's just constantly.
Yeah.
choosing itself over whatever target is available. Just had to point that one out because that's huge.
Yeah, well, and we get to, well, if we're looking, I guess this is what I've just been really trying to focus in on what I gained from the latest email class and where I was pointed to look. And it's just, so it's almost astounding to me that the investigation is limitless. It's that, well, what musings, the musings article brought up of, you know, that the inquiry, it just, it's limitless. And I just, I'm feeling really excited in the looking and what I'm seeing, and it feels like it's going to be endless.
Yeah.
And just that focus of, yes, the point of this is to end suffering.
Yes.
That's really what this is about.
Yes, yes. And the line in our daily recollection that pure undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. I mean, if we want to get a little snapshot of ending egocentricity, ending karma, that could give us a glimpse of that, right? Pure undisturbed consciousness slipping into all consciousness. I think that would be probably a really good definition of nirvana. So what is possible for us there? You know, am I having that experience? No. Okay. Then I want to stay open to looking. I want to be present for what now? What now? What now? Not, okay, things are going pretty well. Nothing bad is happening. Okay, I'm just going to relax here. No, because it's only going to get better. And we're not.
Yeah, and I. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, no.
Well, I just. Look, for years, you have said, you know, you want to pursue those things that are going to put you in the face of what causes your suffering. I'm putting it in other words. But, you know, you put yourself in those situations to come up against whatever it is. And, you know, I always heard it, I sort of got it, mentally got it. But now, I couldn't believe that the other, just recently, you know, it's happening every day, but especially yesterday, something came up that just triggered what I have been looking at, trying to see how does that happen, how does it cause suffering, and and I got the opportunity because one of those situations came up, and I was so grateful. And now I know exactly what you're talking about. How do I pursue those situations that cause the resistance, that cause the suffering, so I can see it, so I can see every.
Yes.
Nuance, every detail of how that happens, which, I don't know, it's just amazing when that, there's a thrill in that.
Oh,
or at least that's like
it's the best.
Of it.
And, you know, Jan, for years in practice, for people who stick around in practice, there's the constant debate. So a retreat is coming up. Oh, I don't, you know, it's so much money, so much time. You can do this other, do it, you can do the next one. Okay, then there's an email class, or there's a, whatever it is that's going on. There's the argument against it because there is that deep belief that this is going to stir up something that is going to make things harder for me. And so even, I want to practice, but, you know, and then we get to that place that you're talking about where, I don't even know who to compare it to, but this is high adventure. You're on the trail of really big stuff, and that's where we get back to being a little kid again, where you can't wait to hop up in the morning and live. And there's nothing like it.
There isn't. And as you're saying that, I also don't want to assume that that's going to that there won't be an undulation with this, that there will be days where that's not the case. And who knows? I just don't know.
There'll be days when ego comes in to try to stop you. We know that. But from this perspective, instead of being stopped, you'll be rubbing your paws together, saying, okay, here's an undulation. Now, what's going on with the energy?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank you. It's interesting. What you just pointed to allowed me to see that it's conditioning telling me, well, you don't know, you can't count on this. And
That's right.
It's there all the time.
It is.
Anyway,
what we can count on is awareness. We can count on paying attention. We can count on practice. We can count on showing up. We can count on the path that we're on.
Absolutely. And I'm so, I mean, there's just this overwhelming sense of gratitude that is so, you know, how did we get to be so lucky? I mean, truly.
Oh,
and
yep.
We got our life.
Funny, I mean, Lord.
We have... Yes, exactly. Anyway, thank you so much for all of
welcome.
It. All of it.
You're welcome, Jan.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jan. Sherry, I'm going to bring on another caller because otherwise we're going to run out of time if I reflect all of that wonderful thing, wonderful, juicy practice interaction. So here we go. Next
all
caller,
right.
You're now
thank
live
you,
on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hello,
hi, Jodine.
Hey, it's a Bay Area caller morning.
Yes.
I put myself in the queue when Anne was sharing because the quote that she referred to from "There is nothing wrong with you," I've had on the door to my meditation room for years, and I would love to share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It goes. In the present, we can undo the past and release the future. Horrible things may have happened in the past, but we don't owe those horrible things our present or our future. Only we can reclaim our precious now by letting go the old stories. You can use your past as strength for your present.
It's true, isn't it?
Well, it struck me years ago enough to write it on a giant post-it note. I think at that time I was looking at it as, I think it was one of those things where it was like, I didn't quite believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But you encourage us to put those kind of things on a back burner and, you know, check in with them.
Mm-hmm. Just keep paying attention and see what evolves.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful that she mentioned it because I kind of walk past it now without reading it, you know, for long periods of time. But I've really come around to, yes, that, you know, I have that experience sometimes.
You know, here's one you could add if you want to. Memories are impediments.
Mm.
Yeah. If there's one thing that we can trust, that we can let go, just get rid of, get out of our lives altogether, it's the past. There's no such thing. There's so much evidence in the, you know, for people who like evidence from the world of science, that what we think of as memories probably never happened. They certainly did not happen the way the voice in our head says they did. And they are only there to pull us out of the present and into an orientation that will rob us of the present. So if somebody wants just a really simple practice to do for, say, the next 30 days, every time you realize there's something in your head about the past, just drop it and redirect your attention to now. You can even say, if you wanted to, you know, that probably actually never happened. So let's look at now. Let's be here now.
Mm. Yeah, that would be a great practice. I know when I'm paying attention to, you know, where's my thinking, you know, what am I thinking, which we were talking about not long ago at the monastery as a really important tool.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, if I were to like make hatch marks, right, like, the past is big in my thoughts. And I was, when you were talking about, you know, just dropping those memories, I thought about what they say about, like, post-traumatic stress, where memories become intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
Is almost
they're
like...
always intrusive.
They're always,
it's just,
they're always
right,
intrusive.
If we don't, if we don't have a diagnosis, we think we're okay.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, my memories are, right. My memories are,
yeah,
like,
mine are harmless because,
right.
I don't have a diagnosis.
Right. But, yeah, but it's just such a, like that pathological, the pathology of those kind of thoughts are recognized, you know, by whatever experts when it's post-traumatic stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is certainly, you know, certainly going on for me,
yeah.
You know, with much more mundane kind of things. So
well,
I think I'll keep on that practice.
One of the things that has fascinated me for a long time is when I'm doing a public talk with primarily a group of people that I don't know, one of the things that I like to do to give people an experience of what you're talking about is just do about a 3-minute guided imagery that takes them into misery and depression.
Oh,
about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they come back. And I do about a 3-minute guided imagery, and they're just, you know, they're just as happy as they've ever been. And the point that I make at that juncture is, look at what just happened. I talked you into being miserable. I talked you into being happy. What do you think that voice in your head is doing? So one of the fastest ways to talk people into being miserable is to talk to them about the past, because the story and conditioned mind is of what was wrong and the miserable and the suffering and the isn't it awful and this is what happened to you and this is why you're the way you are now because that happened to you. Okay, all of those stories, that's all they're accomplishing. So if we want not to suffer from the karmic post-traumatic stress disorder, we can drop the memories. Just never go there again. Just don't have that conversation in your head. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear you talking. I know you've been under the weather. So
I sure have.
It sounds like you're rejoining the land of the healthy. So
yeah, out in
I'm happy
the sun,
for the healing. Good.
About.
Oh, very good. Good. Very good. All right. We'll continue
okay,
to take
you.
Care, huh? Thank you, Jodine.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Jodine. Be well. You know, Sherry, the more it seems to me that bringing all of our conversations from this morning together is. That's what practice is about. We really learn to turn the attention to the moment, learn to turn the attention to the moment, drop the conversation, get here. And in the practice of doing that, then we heal everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Excellent point. Going back into the past with memories is reopening a wound. And then if you add self-hate, pouring salt into it.
Yeah.
But getting into the present, everything is healed. Which, again, I know we're out of time, but the art, we had another conversation on Open Air last night about recordings and how well served we are just to walk around recording about what's going on right here, right now, around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has our attention here, and that's a huge part of the healing process.
Yes, and negativity isn't. And that's what the voice in our head is always pointing to, something wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our assignment for today. The person who says it cannot be done should not interrupt the person doing it. As we note,
often ego, as we note often, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate lives in a world of no. Negativity is ego's milieu. Can't, won't, doesn't, shouldn't, better not possible, is bad, wrong, dangerous. On and on it goes, sowing its seeds of failure, disappointment, and despair. That litany is aimed at stopping the person who can, will, does, wants to, knows it's possible, and is not afraid. We get to be that person who is each time we choose presence over conversation and conditioned mind. Being here is, can, will, does, wants to, knows it's possible, and not afraid. We don't need to do anything when we're here. Here is the whole expression. Today, prove to yourself that here gives you everything your heart has always desired. Record and listen. Sherry?
Can I tell you before we go that I'm looking out the window right now and there's a preteen deer munching on the new grass outside my window. So I have everything that my heart has always desired right here in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Big yes. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
You too. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.